Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
In my head, I don't think there's any time between then and when I'd been drawn out of bed in the morning that Molly Mae could have complained.
Right.
But I'll never know. And yeah, I kind of put it into context and thought, you know what? This is kind of strange that they've kicked me off for this and so many other people have gotten away with so much worse. So
not them, like, Sharif, wake up. Sharif, wake up.
Yeah, like, Sharif, like, God.
That's weird, man. That is some, you must have been like, what the hell's going on? What the fuck is going on here?
I just don't like the way certain men were moving on the show, just like trying to act so bad and steezy and just like moving like a pure gyalist,
you know. Come correct, everyone
back then, certain men should have acted their age. That's all I'm gonna say. Like, yeah,
guys, we are back. The Murad Murali podcast, we have returned so quickly. I am dropping these interviews like flies, like there's bear coming out. And this is one that I actually wanted to really get into. And I feel like, you know, this was a season that he was part of, probably the most popular season of Love Island as of right now. And this is just going to be a very interesting podcast. So we have Sharif, guys. We have Sharif on the podcast. Boy, that's what I'm talking about.
Thanks for having me.
I had no idea you're from South London.
Yeah, no,
we're really neighbours.
Like, proper South London.
As in, like, you're really just like three stops away. That's actually mad.
Yeah, just how have you been? Yeah, I've not been bad, man. Not been bad.
Your outfit is nice, you know.
Oh, thanks, man.
I was just saying this to you. Where are your trousers from?
Stone Island.
They're really nice. Oh, thanks, especially, man, the way they just like sit.
Appreciate it, man. I like your shirt.
Thank you. Yeah, I got bare compliments on the train.
Yeah, I was
actually like, when I get gassed. I just like, I think this is from Zara.
Yeah, man.
Quick 22-25 pounds. How have you been? How's life?
Life's all right, you know, can't complain.
It's been a minute, yeah, Sharif.
It's been a minute.
I don't think anybody's really expecting this podcast because I haven't even announced it anyway. I don't announce these, I just drop them.
Yeah.
But nobody is probably expecting this. But I feel like you have a very interesting story to tell because your season was the one that I started reviewing properly, like every single day in, day out. And so I was very much invested and I feel like everybody else was.
Sure.
And I just have so many questions. Like, where do we even begin with this one?
Where do we begin?
As in, do we begin at the end? Because at this point, I don't know. But basically, like, let's start right from the beginning. You went into the villa and you were paired up with Anna.
Yeah.
I feel. Was that your first connection, correct?
That was my first connection.
Honestly, I thought that she would pick, for a minute, I think between you and Anton, that little recoupling went viral. When she was about to pick.
You know what? Loads of my friends have been sending me that recently. And I'm just like, I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. I'm just like, put a laughing face or whatever. But
That was hilarious because he really got gassed, thought he was going to be picked. And then, of course, Anna picked you.
Yeah.
And do you think that if you were still in the villa and you never had gone anywhere, that something would have happened between you two?
Not necessarily me and Anna, but I think that, you know, my personality would have been given time to develop a lot more with, like, the friendships and the connections that I'd made. I don't think I got to show, like, exactly who I was.
Right.
But I think they showed enough. And I don't think they made me out in a bad light on the show. But
No. Definitely not. On the show, you seemed like you were just chill, calm, taking each day as it goes.
Which I was.
Basically, and just seeing what would happen. And, of course, get Anna as a connection. Now, did you have these tats on the show?
You've really
come back now with 20 on your...
No, I had like two of them.
I don't recall.
I think this one and maybe this one.
Right, and the ones on the arms don't hurt?
No, not as much as the other places.
So where do they hurt the most? Like on the chest? Anything by the ribs?
Yeah, I've heard ribs, like neck, like anywhere bony.
Not the neck, man.
Yeah, anywhere like close to bone.
Have you got anything
bone.
Anywhere else or is it just arms?
No, just arms, like back of my tricep.
Are you going to be like one of those that gets covered?
Yeah,
Is it?
Yeah. I feel like not completely covered, like neck, hands, face, all
as
of
in
that.
Eyeball.
No, just like a whole sleeve, maybe chest covered, you know what I mean? Like just something that looks nice, like aesthetically pleasing, you know?
So yeah. Obviously that there was that day and night that for me, it's so confusing. And I spoke to Amber about it, even here. And then I spoke to Anna about it off camera. I forgot to ask her, but I was like, you know what? Why am I asking every single person, but not you? Like, it doesn't make any sense. So I thought, let me just contact Sharifa and just get into this.
Sure.
And here we are. But what happened that night with Molly May? Because I don't understand. Like, was it actually anything? Was it a physical connect?
Okay. So basically, if I'm being 100% honest, there was a physical connection by definition,
right.
But it wasn't like I'd hit her,
right?
You know? So basically we were getting ready for bed. Everyone like goes to the bathroom.
Is the microphone close? Is the microphone? Because the way this story is about to be a madness, I thought, let me just put the microphone. can you not move his thing up?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. You didn't need the table. Me, I just know. So I thought, let me just put this microphone.
No problem, man. Let's do
close,
it.
Close as. Amazing. That's also being kept in, by the way. So I'm not going to take that out.
Are you not going to take that out?
No. I haven't been kept in the podcast. Okay. Because the microphone needs to be.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
I'm sure it's fine.
That's good.
But this is being kept in the podcast. So people know that.
Oh, man.
Continue this night.
Okay, so basically, we were all getting ready for bed. When we get ready for bed, everyone like goes upstairs, brushes their teeth, like together. We have a bit of banter, whatnot. So I was pretty relaxed in the villa. I would say I had like pretty like relaxed and friendly relationship with the girls, as opposed to like being on Love Island.
Right.
So, you know, it was just continuous banter. It was never really serious with me and the girls. But so me and Molly May are like having a little like karate play fight.
Not karate.
But we're not even touching each other, right?
Right.
So then like one of the moves I did was like a little kick, and she's like come towards me at the same time.
Right.
So it's like.
You just connected by default.
I touched her groin. Like I touched her groin. My leg touched her groin. But it wasn't like I'd kicked her.
Mm.
But if someone was to throw their leg towards my groin, I'm going to move like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whether it connects or not. So on camera, it probably looked a lot worse than it was. So that happened. Didn't even say anything. She wasn't even hurt. Like literally was like, and then we just carried on. Do you know what I mean? Brushed our teeth.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Went to bed. In my head, I don't think there's any time between then and when I'd been drawn out of bed in the morning that Molly May could have complained.
Right.
But I'll never know. Do you know what I mean? But long story short, we all went to bed. That was that. And then obviously you don't have clocks in there, so you don't know what the time is at any point. Got woken up, I would say early hours of the morning, 3, 4 a.m. Got told, you need to go to the heart. There's two managers or directors looking to speak to you. Went in there, long story short, they just tried to like grill me in the early hours of the morning. I'd just woken up about what had happened last night. Said, did I think it was acceptable? Was violating code of conduct?
Grill? Is this like intervention?
I mean, yeah, so basically, do you know what I mean? So that's what it felt like. It felt like, you know, it was a whole security breach and stuff like that. And
right.
Like, yeah, so they're talking to me, two directors of the show are talking to me, saying basically it's a breach of... you know, the contract, that they're going to remove me from the villa. After that, I didn't even have time to go back, say goodbye, pack my bags, nothing. They packed my bags for me. They took me to another villa where I stayed overnight, got to call like my family, told them what had happened, whatnot. Still couldn't use my phone until like I'd got on the plane on the way back. And then, yeah, that was that. Just
so the there was aftermath. Where there was no see you next Tuesday, that word, C-U-N-T, none of that was there.
No. No after sun, no, like, this is it for you.
No, that, no, that word, that word cunt, that apparently you said that word.
Oh, yeah, there was that. Okay, there was that. There was that. So it was basically, put it this way, if I had actually hurt that girl, there's no way I'd be joking about it. That's the only way I can explain it to people. Like, I'm not that guy.
Right.
If I'd actually hurt her and kicked her in her private parts and she was clearly hurt,
yeah,
I wouldn't have been joking about it. But after that happened, we both went straight back to normal. We're still joking. And then Tommy was there and I was just like, yeah, that's a cunt punt.
Yeah.
I said that. Tommy was laughing. Molly Mae was laughing. I was laughing. And we all went to bed after that.
Right.
Now, again, I can't confirm or deny whether Molly Mae either got drawn by the producers to talk about what had happened before I got drawn, or whether Molly Mae went to them and, you know, complained.
Maybe they saw it on the cameras.
Maybe they saw it on the cameras and Molly Mae had nothing to do with it. I'll never know, really and truly. But yeah, that's what happened. It was lighthearted. It was completely humorous. And then, yeah, they tried to like grill me about it and make me feel like it was a breach of security protocol. So yeah, they removed me from the villa. No goodbyes, no anything.
Nothing like that, just nothing, shafted
no goodbyes,
away.
Not even packing my bags. Just
as in they were packing it for you.
Yeah, they took me to they took me to the other villa, where I think some of the contestants stay before they go into the main villa. And yeah, they brought my bags there. Said, if you're missing anything, just let us know and we'll send it to
that's
you back home.
That's actually crazy because, I don't know, I just feel like there's bare men on the show that play fight.
Yeah.
That jump on each other, that do stuff, even from this season that I'm seeing, this lad banter, whatever, 100. Or you know, boys doing it with the girls. And I feel like people have done far worse on that on shows. They've said this, they said that word C-U-N-T so many times, so many girls have said it to boys and with their chest on camera, and they're still in that villa. So it just didn't make any sense that you were gone. People thought there were rumors flying around that you had a fight with Anton.
No.
That somebody had said like the N-word or something like that.
No, man.
And that was the reason why you lost. I was thinking there are bare rumors. What is going on? But that is obviously what had happened that night.
So I don't know. Like in context of what everyone else had done on the show and what I'd done to get kicked off, I didn't really have time to understand it. At the point I was being interrogated, because I'd just woken up like five minutes ago. Do you know what I mean? They were telling me all of these things. I was half awake in another country and like not at home and just like having all of these things questioned. So I just kind of went with it and then didn't really have the emotional state in the other villa to be able to think about it properly.
Right.
And like put it into context with what other people
have done. Because everything happened so quickly.
Everything happened exactly so quickly within, I would say, 30 hours. I was on a flight home. So when I got home, obviously, you know, I had time to speak to people, like see the perspectives of people online, like fans, whatnot. And yeah, I kind of put it into context and thought, you know what? This is kind of strange that they've kicked me off for this and so many other people have gotten away with so much worse. So yeah, that was a bit weird for me to process. And why was a bit weird for me to process? Because do you know what it is? I don't want to pull the race card. Like everyone was like, oh, it's because you're black, whatnot.
Right.
And I'll just put it out there. Everyone was like, yeah, it's because you're black, this, that, and the other. But I don't think it's 100% to do with that. I think it may be a factor. I think it's...
Yeah, it could be a subconscious.
I think it's definitely
conscious.
A factor. Yeah, subconsciously a factor. But yeah, I think it's more to do with the fact in my head that they just, you know, that made the show blow up more.
Right.
Me getting kicked off, undoubtedly. So I think they just saw the right opportunity to do something that would, you know.
Interesting. I didn't see it from that perspective.
Yeah, controversy.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So I started to see it from that perspective and it made more sense than, you know, this guy's black and we need to get him off the show kind of thing. I think they just wanted people talking, whatever it's about. That's Love Island. They just want people talking. you know.
And that's what they did, and they obviously thought that you would be a great excuse to be left out the show. Because I always find it interesting when someone leaves the show at an early stage like you without being dumped, how it affects everything as well. And if you were still in that season, things could have been so different.
Yeah.
So what I also found so weird is that you weren't on After Sun.
No.
You weren't even there. When it comes to the reunion, you weren't even like...
Yeah.
It's as if you never existed.
Yeah.
That's what I find so weird about it. It's that that is what... It's the fact that there was no explanation that you could give on your behalf. You were just gone.
Yeah.
As if Sharif never really existed. As if, you know, he was never part of the villa. Nobody knew him. And people just had to pretend that he just wasn't there. Especially the contestants. They had to pretend that you weren't there.
Yeah, they disconnected my story.
Completely. And it's like, you can't do that because you were there.
Yeah.
Like, that's why that was what was frustrating a lot for the audience. Especially me reviewing. I was thinking like, Sharif is not really here. He's gone.
Mm.
Like, I don't understand it.
So, basically, I wanted to feel bad about, you know, not being on After Sun or not even being called to be on After Sun and stuff like that. But there's a technicality with me coming off the show. So basically you're contracted to, you know, they have sponsors. Mm. You're not allowed to wear certain stuff when you come off the show. You have to do After Sun, all of these contracts, right?
Right.
All of these things are written into your contract. So basically, as soon as I came off the show, I did my Sun interview. Mm. And then I think it was, I was going on a campaign. So to go on that campaign, I had to basically tear up my contract with ITV. And ITV were basically saying, whilst they'd kicked me off, they were like, yeah, you can't go on that campaign.
That's the maddest thing.
Yeah. So I was like...
Exclusive contracts.
Yeah. Yeah. So my lawyer was basically like, you know, that's BS. And worked day and night for like 2-3 days to try and get them to basically terminate my contract, which they eventually did. So I think that's more the reason why I wasn't on After Sun and all of those things.
Do you think that you would have been on After Sun and... Even if you weren't, that's the maddest thing. Even if you kept the ITV like, exclusive contract, I don't even think that you would even be on. That's just for you not to do anything else.
No, exactly. That's just to like kind of box me in
box
and just
you
keep
and
me
keep
in
you
a corner.
In for like a couple of months, I guess, the exclusive deal as contracts are. They just keep you in there for a couple of months.
Exactly. Just kind of keep me quiet. No story, no anything. Like my face isn't getting shown kind of thing. So
right. So you can't talk about it.
So I can't talk about it.
Right.
That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to like, this is just like the corporate world, right? Like when they don't want you to talk, they cut off your avenues kind of thing.
Right.
Like they bring up contracts or whatever. But
people need to read their contracts before they be signing and stuff as well.
Yeah.
So you spoke about, I feel like you did touch on this when you came out. You spoke to like, what do you mean by campaign? You mean like a work campaign or do you mean like a campaign to discuss what happened to you?
No. Fashion campaign.
Right. Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. And so you had to obviously use your lawyers to get out of all of that madness.
So that I could go.
Madness.
I think I was supposed to do the campaign at like 9 a.m. in the morning. And I got a call at like 11 p.m. the night before saying, yeah, you can go.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Last minute.
Last minute. Yeah, for the, as in you're waiting for the whole day.
The whole day, I swear.
It's a lot, man. All of that happened. That the maddest part for me is that, you know, this has happened, you're joking, and then you're waking up.
Mm.
Like, did they come to wake you up?
Yeah, I got woken up by, so basically as like caretakers, not producers, but like...
Not them like, Sharif, wake up. Sharif, wake up.
Yeah, like, Sharif, like, get up.
That's weird, man. That
you
is some...
Go speak with so-and-so in the beach hut.
You must have been like, what the hell's going on? What the fuck is going on here?
Like, I'd just woken up. You know, like I had no clue what was going on. I didn't even really know why I was going to the
beach at this time. You couldn't even wait for half the day when you're up and around tanning away.
Exactly.
So you have better sense. They want to wake you up and then.
Exactly.
So that must have scattered your head for the whole next 40 hours. How did your parents, when you went to that new villa and everything and you were able to contact people, how did they even react to this?
It wasn't good, man. Do you know what it is? They reacted.
Were they angry with you?
They weren't angry with me. But they were almost like, it wasn't a shit show when I got home, but they knew what was about to come, you know? They knew that this was going to blow up. They knew like, you know, I was off the show. Like, you know, we had a situation to handle basically.
Right.
Not like a proper shit hitting the fan, but we had a situation to handle and, you know, we're going to have to speak and do interviews. And do you know what I mean? She kind of was thinking about all of this and, you know, as much as my mom wanted to calm me down and tell me everything was going to be okay. She was just kind of like, okay, cool. You know what? Have a good night's sleep and, you know, we'll sort this out when you come home. But she was aware of the fact that there was stuff to sort out.
Right. And to talk about.
Home. Yeah.
Have you spoken to Molly Mae about this ever since?
I haven't directly spoken to Molly Mae, no.
There's been no conversation between you two about this?
No conversation between me and Molly Mae. Like, still follow each other on socials, but that's about it.
Right. Yeah. I thought that she would have said something. I feel like you two had that altercation and then you left. Surely she would have been like, you're right.
Nah, she blew up too much, man. You're good. Let's be honest.
I feel like she's done well for herself.
Nah, she's like, done, she's definitely done well for herself. Yeah. Like,
but I mean, like, as soon as she got off the show, not as in right now, but I thought, like, are you in contact with any of the Islanders from your season?
You know what?
Is there anybody you talk to? Or anybody, like, I mean, it's 2022 now. Do you understand? Like,
nah, man.
There's not one Islander from your season that you talk to, or any Islanders in general? Not really.
No, at this point, do you know what it is?
It's been 3-4 years now, let's be real.
It's been three years.
It's been a minute.
And if I'm honest with you, like, my story was, I didn't sign up to go on the show. I don't know if you know how I got on the show, but...
You approached?
Yeah, so basically, I was working...
approaching you and then taking you out and...
crazy story. So let me explain this to you so it makes sense, like, from both angles of the storyline. So I was working on Lever Lane, which is near Hatton Garden in East London or West London. I'm not sure which one, but yeah, near Hatton Garden. And I worked at a place called the Salad Kitchen. So basically, on my lunch break, I was going to get some food from a food stall. And long story short, as I'm taking my food, turn around and there's two executive producers. And they're like, so we've been trying to get your attention for like the last three, four minutes. And we like your banter with the lady who's serving you food. Have you ever heard of the show Love Island? I was like, yes. Now, funny point here, yeah. From that point onwards, I knew that I was somehow going to get on Love Island. I don't know why, but I just knew if I'm being approached in the street like this, like I'm probably going on that show.
As in they're hearing your conversation with the lady, yeah.
You know, so they're like, have you ever been on Love Island? Are you single? Can you do an interview? I was like, yeah. So they took my number. I've gone back inside, like 30 seconds away to eat my food, opened up my food, and I've gotten a message on WhatsApp, like, can you come straight after work? Like, what time do you finish? And I think it was like 2:30. I said like 3:30, can I go home and change? They were like, no, just come straight to the studio and do your first interview. Went straight to the studio, did my first interview. Two and a half weeks later, I'm on a flight. Yeah.
Wow.
To the villa, you know.
Wow. So Love Island starts early June. So this must have been around May.
Yeah.
They approached you.
They approached me.
Wow. No.
Love Island starts, I think. Yeah.
I think like June.
Yeah. Start of June.
Because normally for some contestants, they have like 7 months worth of interviews and processing. Yeah. But for you, it was just like...
They apply.
You're there in two weeks.
Yeah. And bear in mind, before all of this, like... I'd never been in the limelight. Like, I did my research on, you know, who was on Love Island after I came off, not before I went on. And, you know, people had done modeling, people were used to the club scene, people used to doing personal appearances, whatever it was, they were, you know, in the scene of some sort. I'd never done a radio show, no modeling shoots.
Zero training.
I didn't even been to a central London club, like none of that. So I was 20 years old, working at the Salad Kitchen on Lever Lane, and it was just like that, you know.
Yeah, I could tell on your, like, with your first week, you were just like, it felt like you were very fresh and new to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they all were. So, like, some of them were as well. But, like, I feel like with you, you were just like taking literally each day as it came.
And yeah, you're exactly right. But I think that's one of the things that they almost didn't like about me. Because whilst everyone was making a fool of themselves and, you know, trying to be controlling or, you know, trying to say, this is my girl, this is my man, and, you know, do all of that too soon. I was just like, yeah, that's not me. I'm not going to portray myself like that on TV. I didn't come in here with a game plan. I'm just going to be myself and, basically, you know, see where it goes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is just me connecting stuff that doesn't make sense, but for them to recruit you so quickly, this could have been a pre-plan. Let's recruit somebody quickly so that we can dump them, so we can kick them out and make it controversy.
I'll explain that. So what I found out after coming off is one of my boys played for Reading Football Club.
Right.
And there was a boy in his academy that was supposed to go on Love Island, and he'd done all the interviews, done everything.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter.
Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yeah.
My year. So,
season five.
A black boy. Athletic, like same height as me.
We're supposed to go
on Love Island, and he pulled out because basically Redden said to him, "It's either you play football, or you go on Love Island."
Exactly.
So they were left stranded without this, you know, demographic,
right?
This that aesthetic. They needed,
right?
And then that they were saw looking me.
For, yeah, right. And then they obviously replaced. Okay, cool. That makes sense.
Yeah,
because you wouldn't want to give up your football career.
No,
if it's going well for you for Love Island.
No, if you're playing pro, I would have done that either.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I just feel like if you were, of course all that happened, but would you ever do like reality TV again?
I would, yeah. Now I would. The thing people need to understand is...
I feel like you're different now than you are on the show.
Yeah,
you're
way
very different.
Way different, Sharif. Man. Way different.
I feel like you... How old were you on the show?
20.
And how are you now?
23.
Yeah, I feel like you're... I mean, everybody grows up in their own time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do feel like you become quite mature. Mm. Not that you were... ridiculously immature on the show, but like you can tell there's a difference.
Yeah, there is.
And growth, and everybody grows. 20 was young.
Yeah, 20 is very young. Like,
oh, 20 is young to be on national television, you know?
What's the youngest person that's gone on Love Island? Like 19?
Probably 19.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing. That is exactly. So young to be on reality TV.
Exactly. And especially if you've done none of that sort of stuff before.
Like, you don't know what you're doing, what's going on.
I didn't even watch Love Island before I went on there.
Right.
You know, like I watched it before I went on there when I knew I was going on there, but I hadn't watched reality TV like that to know like the type of characters, what they're looking for, you know, how to act, what looks good, what doesn't look good. And in one sense that helped me, and in another sense that didn't help me. So
right. It was like a blessing in disguise to an extent.
Yeah, to an extent.
To an extent, but it was quite traumatic as well.
Yeah. Yeah. At the time it was. Yeah.
How did you deal with it when it came to your mental?
So, you know, I don't know if you know, people that know me know this, but I live in the ends. So this is like something that's never happened in the ends before, especially with like someone getting kicked off and like all of the hype around that. I had about 12 paparazzi cars, like just in the ends.
Huh?
Yeah, just in the ends, in the hood, just like parked outside my house, like people with umbrellas, like wanting to do interviews with me, like standing right outside my house. And like the whole ends was just like, what even is going on? Obviously I'm going to do interviews and like my mum's coming with me just for support and stuff. And yeah, there's like people following us, our driver, cause, for the first like week ITV provided us driver and, like security at the same time. He's driving me to like go and speak to management and like different managers and stuff like that. And yeah, I'm getting followed by like 2-3 cars. He's trying to lose them. We end up at the place with one. By the time we get out, like there's paparazzi there. I was just so not used to this.
It's a lot.
Like I wasn't even gassed. It was just like, yeah, I'm not used to this. This is weird. So yeah, I dealt with it okay. I would say I probably dealt with it better than most people would, especially given my situation. It's not like I had all of those people chasing me wanted to do an interview for a necessarily positive reason.
Hmm.
Might not have been necessarily negative, but it definitely wasn't positive.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I would say I dealt with it okay. You know, I told my story in the way it was supposed to be told.
I feel like you told your story, like you did some interviews with a few that went viral.
Yeah.
I remember seeing them in 2019, you spoke about it. Did you feel like you left anything out? Or did you feel like, you know, you, because to be honest with you, you're in the show, you do this, have this fight with Molly, whatever, this play fight, you get kicked out, you question in the morning, you have to go to your yard, you're then seeing Paps at your yard, and then you're doing this interview. It's all happening so fast, and the show is still going on.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just continuing. It's continuing. What I mean? Yeah. That's the weird part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The show is still continuing, and you're still doing these like interviews, and then it's just like a lot. It's like a whole bubble, like a whirlwind.
No, 100%.
So when it came to these interviews and you were doing them and you were speaking about stuff, did you have any fear?
I didn't have any
fear.
Because
it's like you're seeing bare papers and conversation in the public speaking about you. Was there like, okay, no fear, you said.
Yeah, it wasn't fear exactly. It was like more just trying to not, because I understood very quickly that the media don't want you to tell your story. They want to get the story out of you.
Right.
So I clocked that very quickly, and I just tried to navigate around that. So it's not fear. It's just, first of all, them trying to extract a story out of me to paint me a certain way. Excuse me. And then second of all, the fact that I still had ITV on my case, basically, breathing down my neck saying, make sure you don't say anything crazy or else we'll be on you, kind of thing.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was like, is there fear?
It wasn't fear, because it was still at the same time
an afterthought.
Yeah. At the time, it was more like, F them. I'll say what I want to say.
Yeah.
But again, you have to be aware of how the corporate world works and not get yourself too deep, because you could say something and then, they put it out and then, you've got a lawsuit or whatever. So I was trying to tell my story as accurate as possible, but I wasn't trying to
do a madness.
Yeah.
Because you never know what could happen to you that could affect your life because you're really on this public show.
Exactly. Exactly, man.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a lot for you to go through.
Yeah.
I do feel like, and after that all happened and the dust settled, how did you just leave it under the rug and continue with your life?
So,
because I feel like you met up with Islanders and you've done stuff.
Yeah.
And you went on, you did some campaigns, you said. Yeah, yeah. But did you just leave the influencing world at some given point?
Yeah. So I would say, obviously, I came off the show mid-June.
Right.
From mid-June to 2019 December, I did the personal appearances, met up with the Islanders, all of that sort of stuff, did the campaigns. But it got to a certain point where I just had to think about what identity I wanted for myself.
Right.
Because not that I felt identityless, but I just felt before I went on the show, I was a rugby player, I was a chef. What am I now, kind of thing. So I just had to take a step back and realize,
rugby player and chef.
Yeah.
Come on, chef, what can you cook? What's your best dish? Let me put you on the spot
I'm good with meat.
Not people you like a chef hat in the kitchen. You know,
I'm not a dish person. If you ask me to cook a dish, I'd probably just make something that's nondescript, but I'm really good with meat, roast, grill, all of that stuff.
There must have been that key word you said is identity. You're just what am I doing?
Yeah.
Why am I doing this stuff? Is this really me?
Exactly. So I wasn't necessarily in the best position to say, okay, cool. Or maybe I was. Looking back on it, maybe I was. But at the time, I felt like I wasn't in the best position to say, this is what I'm going to do. This is who I'm going to be. Mm. I felt like I had to take the opportunities that came to me.
Mm.
So I did that for about 6 months. And then I just had a conversation with myself and just kind of said, most of these people that go on the show are 26, 27, 28. They kind of, not need to have a game plan, but, they need to utilize this time sooner rather than later.
Right.
But you're 20 years old, what's happened. You have a platform, people don't necessarily see you in a bad light.
Right.
Not necessarily a good light either, but they don't see you in a bad light. Just take some time, to figure out what you want to do for yourself. So obviously I started playing semi-pro rugby again. I do that now. I started cooking privately and at five-star hotels and stuff like that, just to kind of figure out where I wanted to be.
Mm.
And I would say now it's kind of time for me to utilize all of this again.
Yeah, I do feel like there's a change in how you're carrying yourself.
Yeah.
I can already sense it. I feel like there's growth. Yeah. I mean, you're at the end of the day, you're 20 at the time. So there's bound to be growth regardless.
Exactly.
But that's what I was going to ask, what you're up to now. And you're playing rugby.
Yeah.
Currently, and you're currently a chef for people, or is this, that's just something you do on the side here and there?
That's something I do on the side here and there. And I kind of want to come out of the kitchen for good, commercial kitchens. But and do more of the private work and like, right. you know, diet plans and stuff right. like that. That's what I kind of want to move into, like training and diet plans and stuff like that. Right. As one, because not many people do that.
Right.
Like, not many people are trainers, play semi-pro rugby and actually can cook. Right. Do you know what I mean? So I kind of want to move into that and transition into that.
Yeah, like the nutrition kind of value that has more depth.
Exactly.
Because you actually are in the kitchen making exactly. those meals or sourcing that food from like Sainsbury's or wherever you're
I'm
going.
Cooking for myself and stuff like that. I understand what fuels right. like, yeah, what, so on and so on. But yeah, playing semi-pro rugby at the moment. Mm. At the moment, I'm trying to see if I can go abroad for next season. But if I don't, then I'll be playing semi-pro rugby here. Mm. And yeah, just trying to get my life back together. And
basically, do you find yourself just thinking about it?
When what, Love Island?
Yeah, like when because since your season has been basically three seasons at this point, do you find yeah. yourself just like thinking about...
It's not that I think about Love Island specifically, like the show and me being on there and the memories on there and what happened and all of that. But I just... think about the fact that that is ultimately, whether I like it or not, attached to the reason people know me, if they do know me, you know? I'll never really be able to shake that off.
Right.
You know, that's the guy from Love Island. That's the guy that got kicked off of Love Island, whatever. But yeah, that's the element or the way I think about it. I don't necessarily think about, you know, what happened and the trauma and all of that. I'm over that.
Like, okay, cool.
Completely over that. Yeah.
Did you seek therapy or did you just feel like, you know what, I can deal with this on my own?
I had therapy.
From ITV?
From ITV, you know, and standard.
Yeah.
But again, like number one, like you're just thinking the whole time, like, who is this person?
Right.
You know, who is this, yeah, therapist?
Not who is this person.
Who is this therapist trying to like, you know.
Talk to me.
Talk to me and find out how I'm feeling and, you know, how I feel about ITV and the whole situation, you know, so you're being careful and kind of like tiptoeing in that therapy session. But
right, you're just like trying to feel it out.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I hear you on that.
So yeah, I did have therapy, but I would say I was pretty mentally strong to just understand exactly what it was, and, you know, how negative it was, the positives of it, what I can do, you know, right. with the situation and just, yeah.
Now, in your time around Love Island and the stratosphere, were there any islanders that you just didn't get on with? Boys or girls? I mean, I'm sure the dust is all settled now.
You know what it is? I'm not really a controversial person, but the only person I would say didn't necessarily... Do you know what it is? Nah, there was no one, you know?
What name are you about to drop now?
Do you know what? Okay, cool. I'll be honest. I'll be 100% with it. I was going to say Anton, but even me and Anton were pretty cool.
Right.
Like
It could even be... not even in your season, it could be just in the Love Island world when you're leaving and you're seeing people. It doesn't even have to be in your season, because more time, you're only there for a week. So like, who are you really like?
I just don't like the way, I'm not even going to name drop, but I just don't like the way certain men were moving on the show. Just like trying to act so bad and steezy and just like moving like a pure gallist. I'm not going to name drop because it's 2022, do you get me? Like it was 2019, but... Yeah, and everyone's grown. I'll also mention that.
Right.
But,
I feel like everyone like grows to a certain extent. Everyone acts like a fool here and there, but they, you know, come correct. Everyone
back deserves... then, certain men should have acted their age. That's all I'm going to say. Like, yeah.
Ah?
Yeah. you can deduce whatever you want from that, but yeah, that's all I'm going
to
say.
These people you're referring to on your season or people that...
On my season.
Okay.
On my season.
On your season.
Yeah.
Rah. Okay. Yeah. In terms of boys that were just like...
Yep.
Acting immature on the show.
Yeah.
Towards you?
No, not towards me. Mm. But I've met them in real life and they're waste men in real life as well. But I'm not name dropping. You get me?
Yeah. I don't blame you on name dropping. Yeah. I would love you to drop your names.
I don't care now, as you get
but
me.
As in, exactly. Yeah. But surely if you don't care, I'll tell you
off camera.
Okay, tell me
I'll
off camera.
I'll tell you off camera.
Yeah. But I think I know who you are. I have an assumption.
And so will everyone, but I don't care. All right.
Are they mixed race?
Might be. There's quite a few mixed race.
Like 25 mixed race people.
Quite a few mixed race people in that season.
That lines it down. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And there was nobody else in him. Because you know when you come out, you got to go to these Love Island events, these Love Island holidays with these boys or girls.
And this is why I think that person's a waste man, by the way, just because of how they move in real life as well. But carry on. I'll let you carry on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have, okay. I think I know what you're talking about. Okay, hopefully everybody connects the dots, but I'm connecting. Yeah, as in we're playing Connect Four
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, and it's
right now we're playing.
Yeah.
when you go on these like Love Island events and stuff like that, was there anybody there that you just felt like you're trying to awkwardness, or you're trying to portray something that you're not?
You know what it is? Like, for how I'll be honest, for how close we were on the show, and this has been explained, and I'll explain it after, but like, me and Joe were pretty close on the show,
right?
You know, like, you know, I would think that I helped Joe out quite a lot, you know, decision making wise, and Joe helped me out
right.
quite a lot decision making wise, and you know, feeling like comfortable in the villa and stuff like that. Like, that was my boy. When we came off the show, it was just like, did not know me kind of thing, like, at all. But it's been explained, like, again, I'm a believer of, you know, cool, you have management are telling you to move a certain way.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
Your money's connected to that. I understand that like, certain people didn't want to be seen with me, and you know, the certain stuff that I was saying about ITV, and
right,
you know,
right,
they're
right.
still contracted.
Right, right.
I understand.
Right.
Like, I'm
right,
not unreasonable.
Okay.
I understand the intricacies of like why they didn't necessarily want to interact with me.
Right.
Because a couple of them, after they came out of their contracts and stuff like that, did start interacting with me. Do you know what I mean? And explained to me that it was that situation. But yeah, that's probably the only person that when I saw them at events, it was just kind of like awkward, but not awkward in the fact that, you know, I was trying to avoid them or they were trying to avoid me. Just like,
it must be a lot though when people don't want to be seen with you. Because that irritates the hell out of me.
I don't really care. I have my people.
Right.
You know, I have my people. And this is the thing. This is what people need to understand about me is, again, like, not that I am hood, but I'm actually from the ends. You know, like, I have a family on the ends, and I have a family that I grew up with. I have a family from, you know, secondary school, all of these things, you know. So I actually have a real family. So
right, you have your groups.
I have my groups. Yeah. So when it came to, you know, Love Island, people don't really want to be seen with me. Like, it's not necessarily,
it doesn't shake you.
It doesn't shake me.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't shake me that much. Obviously, when you're going to events and they don't want to be seen with you, it's a bit, tiny bit awkward, but it's not like, oh, like, do you want to link me? No, I don't want to link you. And I'm like sad or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Or like they air my DM and I'm upset. It's just like, oh.
I'm not you being sad.
Yeah, no.
As in tears.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. I feel like your whole process was a lot. Inside the villa, then you're outside the villa, and then you're seeing, obviously, you know, people are moving a little bit. Sorry, when you said that this person is a gallus, that just has just stuck with me. that is funny. But there was no issues, well, not even issues. When I say issues, I feel like I'm deep in it. But like, there's nothing, there was no ruckus with anybody not on your season.
No, I'm
that
not.
That you just thought was like,
I'm not really controversial like that. Like, and I'm not going to be controversial with girls or stuff that like I find, you know, isn't that pertinent to my life.
Right.
Like, certain people, like, it means so much to them. Like, for me, I'm not going to beef you unless you're like properly violating. You know?
Right. I don't think anybody did violate you like that.
No.
Nobody really came at you like sideways for no reason.
No.
I don't really think so. Wow. What's next for Sharif? It's such a wild question because you're 23.
Yeah.
So as in like, when people ask me that, I actually
wait, in a good way or a bad way?
Yeah, no, in a good way.
Oh, okay.
But when someone asks me what's next for me, I actually find it such a stupid question because it's like, you don't know. It's like, like we're so young.
Yeah,
it's got like 10, 15 years.
You're trying in all your avenues and
basically,
you just see what doors kind of open. But for me, as I said, I'm just trying to, you know, play semi-pro rugby. I'm trying to see if that opportunity can take me abroad, you know, do some more traveling whilst doing what I love at the same time and getting paid for it. To be at that level at this age is enough for me. But on top of that, I'm trying to, you know, go down the nutritionist and trainer vibes packaged as one. Because as I said, I don't think that's something that you see often enough. And I think, it would be a niche that would serve me well. But travel, play rugby, keep cooking.
Yeah, you were just in Marrakesh.
Yeah, I was just in Marrakesh.
You're living your best life.
Like, I'll tell you this, Murad is the first person I've come to see as soon as I've touched down. Like, I touched down last night. And I'm here this morning. So,
As in he just came, as in he didn't even go, he ran from the airport. No, I'm joking.
It wasn't like that.
Are you watching this new season of Love Island? Watch Love Island?
Do you know what? I don't watch it.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I wouldn't watch it. I think there's, you know, other things you could do at 9 p.m. with your time. But yeah, I've seen a couple of episodes.
Of this season?
Yeah, because my neighbours watch it and I chill at their crib quite a lot. So yeah, when they watch it, I catch, you know, maybe half an hour of an episode.
Do you know any of the people? Like, or do you just like, they're just like...
Apart from Ekin-Su.
Ekin-Su will come through,
yeah,
baby.
Ekin-Su, I've heard about you. And what's the guy that she's making?
Davide.
Davide.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's about it.
I feel like it's a good season.
Ikenna, I've heard of.
Ikenna as well. Yeah. He was there a couple of days ago.
Yeah, that's about
Outside of your season, I feel like this is actually a season that people are watching because the last two weren't that great.
No.
To be honest with you. It's been quite of a slow. What do you think of Love Island Winter and the fact that they're trying to do two seasons a year? Do you think it's too much?
I think they need to, you know, focus their efforts on what serves them best. And, you know, no, I don't think it's a good idea. Yeah.
If Love Island came to you and said, you know what, Sharif, we want you back on a new season, would you do it?
I couldn't. It would compromise my morals. And do you know what it is? It would compromise all of the support that I've got against ITV. Not necessarily to say that I'm still against them or whatever, but, you know, it would just compromise, you know, all of those people that have reached out to me saying, you know, what they did was bad, you know, bun them, they've done this to other people, they're corrupt, whatever they were saying, whether they are or not, it would just like compromise all of that. And I can't do that.
Too many conflicts.
Yeah, can't do that at this stage. If it was another, like if it was like BBC or whatever, then yeah. But ITV themselves, I couldn't.
Right, I hear you.
Yeah.
Not this lady looking at us. What is she doing? What is she doing? What the hell was that? That was scary.
That was a bit scary. And I don't even think that's a lady.
No, it is a lady.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
That scared the hell out of me, but it's fine. It's fine.
Like, so strange. Yeah.
I'm not really bothered by that.
It's strange.
Damn,
do you get that a lot?
No. Okay. Meredith is really looking at me like that, you know? Like,
staring into your soul.
As in, she's just doing, that was so funny. I'm thinking,
that is strange.
And me, I'll look back at you. If you're staring at me, I'll stare at you. Now we're having a stare contest. Let's see who wins. Let's just see who wins now. Because I'm really going to keep staring at you.
While I'm trying to continue
I'm just looking at you like this. Okay, let me just like talk. Madness. Anyways, Sharif, thank you for gracing me with your presence.
No problem, man. Thank you for having me.
This was, I know, I thought
I've been waiting to meet you because, like, obviously, back in 2019, I did watch a couple of your YouTubes. Like, I do know about you and whatnot. And I kind of like your vibe, man. So
thank you,
man. To be called up to do a podcast, like, I appreciate it, man.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, I feel like, what was I going to say now? I feel like it was just when you were on and all that happened, and obviously I was just supporting it, and I was like, sure, we can't, like, what's going on? Like, let me just talk about it, because I didn't see anyone talking about it like that.
100.
People were just like, oh, he's gone, and that was the end of the story.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know,
actually elaborate.
Let me put on my little magnifying glass and I find out what's going on, like Sherlock Holmes. But 100. No, I appreciate you coming on. I thought, you know what, let me just get Sharif's story, because I asked Amber on the podcast and I asked Anna off. So I was like, why am I not actually asking you? It doesn't make any sense. Sure. Like, you're just going to, it's just hearsay until I ask you.
Until you get the full
Do you know what
story,
I mean? So yeah. I thought, you know what, let me just ask you. And I feel like this was a great discussion.
Thanks, man.
I feel it was really good. But
appreciate
thank
it,
you so much for coming on. The Murad Murali podcast, guys, daily and consistent. Everything is in the bio below as well. This podcast is sponsored. I was going to say it's at the beginning, but I'm going to say it's at the end of the podcast as well. And details are all released at the beginning. But Sharif, everyone. Sharif, baby. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. We're out, man. Oh, that was good. Yeah. That was good. And we have what, 8 minutes to spare?